Clint, what does that mean, Vice President of Innovation?
Means three things. Oh, you know what it really means? It means driving change. Fundamentally, I'm a student of change. It to us means three areas: collaboration, building performance, modular construction. It's all around productivity. Business performance improvement. That's what it means.
Why is it important to have that in a construction company?
We have to do better for our customer, we have to do better for our shareholder, we have to do better for our employees. That's why.
You're here today at NAIT to speak at the Applied Research Symposium. What's the point that you're going to try and get across to people?
The need for collaboration, the need to lead change, and we have to address culture. As an industry, we have to create a culture of innovation. That's what I would like to raise today.
And why is that important?
We have to change our mindset. Our industry today is so commoditized. If you look in the last 10 years, profit margins have declined. Risk has gone up. We have an aging workforce. Productivity's on a decline. We have some real significant challenges. I mean opportunities to do better.
People have been talking about trying to create a culture of innovation in Canada for at least the 20 years that I've been reporting in this area. Why is it taking so long to embrace that?
That's a big question, and I don't know. When I look back, and in fact, there's a book recently published by Rideau Hall through David Johnson and Tom Jenkins, and how Canadian innovators have made the world more ingenious and smarter and smaller and kinder and safer, healthier, wealthier, and happier. It's quite a book, and I would really advocate for all Canadians, frankly, to have this, to read it and understand the history. So in many respects, I think Canada, I would argue, not only inventors, but innovators. But in this industry, the root cause of the problems we've had and lack of innovation in many respects, I think the procurement process is one big area. I would say mindset. Yeah. We've commoditized ourselves.
Could you explain that further?
I'm studying right now the procurement process in Canada, and I think that's one of the inhibiting factors to better improvement in innovation. I'm learning it right now. I think we focus on, well, my job is this. I'm an electrician. I'm a plumber. I'm an architect. Well, okay, what do we really do? Do we not help our customers' business improve? Do we not build a better building? Do we not help them get product to market faster? I think it's our mindset. We've got to change our mindset.
What would you change it to?
Value add, value creation. As opposed to, my job is this. Well, what is your job? Your job is to create value for our customer. Bottom line.
In your work at Stuart Olson, right, one of the things that you're dealing with is smart buildings.
Smart buildings is a big area of focus right now. Well, is it smart? Is it sustainable? Is it intelligent? We hear all types of terms on this topic. Some would say, well, a smart building is a building that's full and you're getting very healthy rent checks, right? Is that what it's about? This year in Canada is very interesting on this topic of buildings. Do you know that this year, tenant profile, occupants out of, I don't know, is it 485,000 buildings, I think, in Canada, if you add it all up? Whatever the number is, don't quote me on that, please. But this year, unlike ever before, the younger generation, I'm 53, so I can say younger, I guess, but millennials, let's call it millennials, are the majority of the occupant profile. If you look at a 60-year-old versus a 40-year-old versus a 30-year-old, their needs and expectations in their workspace and their study space and their living space are different. And so how is a building responding to these different needs and expectations? And technologies play a big role, whether it's air quality, whether it's light levels, whether it's how we move and adjust the infrastructure and the facilities therein. People today work much differently. We see young people, they collaborate on the fly. They can be in a meeting, but they're all on their mobile device. They're texting, they're researching, whatever they're doing. They're multitasking, right? How do buildings better respond? How do buildings better anticipate and facilitate these changes? So when we speak about smart buildings, that's a big part of it.
So how would you do that?
Well, how you better design and plan the building, how you implement the building. So you're dealing with technologies, you're dealing with processes, you're dealing with a whole new way of approaching design and implementing a project. So construction. We hear of IoT, Internet of Things. Well, what does that mean? What are you going to do with a sensor? What are you doing with the data? And more importantly, what will we do with information? So it's a whole new way of thinking.
How have things changed from the time when you first got into this? You say you're 53 now.
How has it changed?
So over the last 20, 30 years.
Technology has changed dramatically. If I look at critical building systems, not much has changed. Energy systems are changing. Measurement and management of the systems is greatly changing. I mean, dramatically changing. Your average building operator in a commercial building today, I believe, is about 57 years of age. And the 57-year-old, what they were trained on in their early 20s, let's say, on building controls, for example, it's completely different today. I mean, it is completely different. You're dealing with algorithms. We're dealing with analytics. We're starting, actually, we've just done our first little pilot with artificial intelligence. I mean, 5 years ago, would anybody have even known what artificial intelligence was? So old process control, the old Boolean logic, if you go into that level as opposed to today, you know, you're dealing with some pretty advanced algorithms. So things are changing on a number of levels. If we go to core infrastructure in buildings, think about the evolution of low-voltage communication systems to today. We're dealing with advanced fiber optic systems. It just goes on and on. So I would just summarize as technology and process are different. The skills, necessary skills, are dramatically different. How we work together in planning and implementing, constructing, is different.
I guess it's easy enough to do to incorporate those things into a new design, into a new building. Where does retrofitting fit into that?
That's a great question. There's been a lot of discussion on retrofit, but what I find really interesting, if I look in the last 5 years, we're seeing vacancy in buildings in Canada, I think 5 years ago, and I should dig up my numbers so I'm accurate, but I'll just say 5 years ago, national vacancy in all of our urban centers, I think might have been in the 10-11% range. I think this year we might have about a 15% vacancy, and I believe next year are they forecasting up to 16-17% vacancy. So the vacancies are growing, whatever that actual finite number is. However, we continue to see new construction of new kinds of buildings. And so the vacancies have to respond. How are they going to retrofit the building? And we've heard a lot of talk about retrofits. We've heard a lot of talk about new kind of financial models, how to monetize a new kind of retrofit investment. There's all sorts of initiatives going on, but the fact remains, the retrofit is an industry segment, I think, is lagging in many respects, as opposed to the investment and the energy being put into new construction.
How do you fix that?
I think it all goes to pro formas. I think today with the low cap rates, capital rate of return in the money markets, I think when you look at it that way, it goes back to velocity of cash. How are we going to show a better IRR, a rate of return for the money, the investors? We've got to demonstrate that by doing a retrofit is good for the bottom line. So it's all about economic modeling improving. It's all about financial bottom line results.
It sounds like we have to change our ideas about absolutely everything, and then once you've changed it, you have to change it again.
You're right. But look at what we've just touched on with your series of questions. We're dealing now with financial models. We're dealing with new kinds of technologies that are changing radically, rapidly. We're dealing with new kinds of processes. With the people front, we're dealing with new kinds of skill sets, but not only skill sets, but mindset. People talk about collaboration. How do we bring a discipline of collaboration? And that takes trust. It takes empathy. It takes a mutual respect to understand and appreciate another perspective. I think in many respects, the construction industry has an opportunity to do much better in these areas. And so it's how we bring all the stakeholders together and how are we going to focus on a common goal. Fundamentally, what is the problem we're trying to solve? The problem in a retrofit market is a problem in new construction or new real estate development. There are different sets of problems. You know, it isn't the old adage, I've got a hammer, so everything's a nail. We've got to step back and really look at the imperative of the client, understand how we're going to create value for them, understand how we're going to solve that biggest problem. Is it about higher net rent? Is it about filling the building? Is it around brand strategy? Is it about improving the occupant productivity? Is it about helping the occupants be healthier, better well-being? So based on focusing on whatever that challenge is, then it enables us to come together and be more clear on how we can work together.
Thank you very much, Clint.
You're welcome. Thank you for the opportunity to visit with you.